Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dorimple, and welcome to this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast, almost live from editorial meeting room, Nigel. Coming up this week, Cronkerberry's primary school, controversial colouring, mental health awareness, and of course, a lovely feature on island resident that used to work for Ronald Reagan, no less. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles and online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by NewsHound's Jess Ward.
Hiya.
And Sam Turton.
Hello.
Chaps, how are you this week?
Yeah, good. I'm actually having my day off, so I've come specially in for the podcast.
This is dedication.
Teamwork.
A precedent that isn't being set here by producer Emma, that we have to all come in on the days off
to fulfill this. Yeah. I mean, par Katie, she's on there.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to Katie's shenanigans. And where is she?
She's Argentina.
She's in Colombia.
Colombia is South America.
Just clarify, yeah.
It's because she used to live in Argentina, so I just got that mixed up. I'm so sorry. And also, we miss you dearly.
She's not in Argentina. She's not in the Caribbean, which is the two answers you've given me last time I've asked you that question. She's actually in Colombia, which is in a different country.
I realise that. And interested. Please forgive me.
If it's not New Zealand, are you? Sam, how's your week been?
It's been right, yeah.
Anything interesting happening?
Everything's interesting.
I believe you've got another bargain from a local charity shop you're going to talk to us about a bit later on.
Yeah, I have them. It's great.
So those regular podcast listeners will remember Sam's mug/jug, I know it's easy for me to say, that looked like a pirate. That was pirate themed, wasn't it, Sam?
Yeah, it turned out to be one of the Musketeers.
Was it a Musketeer, not even a pirate?
Yeah, which one was it? It was Porthos. Yeah.
Good knowledge.
Boom.
How did you find that out? Did it tell you?
It's written on the back.
Well, those of you who want to see what that looks like, that was on episode 2, I think. And so if you want to look at our social media, at IOM News Podcast, I'm sure you'll find a lovely picture of Sam with the mug, said mug, wasn't it? And a cartoon impersonation, an artistic impersonation of Moray Park, I believe, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. The sun always shines.
As we've said, Katie Kinshaw, who usually joins us for the podcast, is still away. She's 2 weeks now, this.
She's living it up.
As I said, not in Argentina, not in the Caribbean.
No.
She's definitely in Colombia.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyone who follows her on Instagram, she's been bombarding us with holiday spam. She's also been on our podcast WhatsApp group, other group messaging services are available. She's been showing us some unique insight into the art of Colombia, hasn't she,
Yeah,
Chaps?
It's quite strange, the artwork that she's been showing us.
Yes.
Cubism, I think. But of really chubby kind of people, I'd say.
Well, have chubby cubes.
Well, they seem to in Colombia. But there's all sorts of... It varies from family portraits, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
It's mostly been people, hasn't it?
Yeah,
landscapes or anything like that.
No.
But they all seem to paint a story.
They
as
do.
Most good paintings do. But yes, I'm sure we can maybe share some of them on social media a bit later on as well. Anyone who listened to the podcast last week, we should probably be pointing out a technical phenomenon, which producer Emma would like us to mention. It's called the Phantom Breather. Now, there was points last week, if you were listening, you may have thought you might have dialed an old school dirty line, because it was a bit of a heavy breathing. Sam had a bit... Did you have a bit of a cold last week, mate?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and it's sort of, because of our brand spanking new... microphone, it was being picked up, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, quite badly.
And the room doesn't help, I suppose. It's quite cold in here, so, just...
So, hopefully, there won't be any phantom breathing this week, but if there is, we apologise in advance.
She's got the Phantom of the Opera music running through my head. Phantom of the podcast.
Should we get you a little mask?
Yeah. Get a cape. Oh, I'd be great for a cape.
You look a bit more like Zorro. That would go with your musketeer thing.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
I mean, Spanish.
So, talking about impulse buys from local charity shops, talk us through your latest one then.
So, I've been back down in town in the charity shops. And I picked up the Treasury of Familiar Quotations.
What shop was that from?
Yeah, we like to...
From the charities. Now closed Oxfam shop.
Oh, right. So it's a lovely green book, isn't it? It's a hardback.
Mm.
It looks like it's full of knowledge and wisdom.
Yeah, and maybe a bit of mould. But Sam, talk us through it. So if you've got a topic, it's got various topics in it and a quote to go with that topic.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got loads of stuff in it. It's, you can get... quotes about benevolence, for instance.
A fun topic.
Gold.
Is it a bit lighter?
Some gold.
Gold?
The pick lock that never fails.
Oh.
I think that's maybe like, you know, you can always buy your way in.
So, are you planning to use these on the after dinner circuit of the Isle of Man or something?
Yeah, I've been booked in for a really big do down at McDonald's in a couple of weeks.
All right, well, hit us with your favourite quote so far then.
So, I found one about newspapers.
Okay.
And it's
relevant.
From Napoleon.
Okay.
Four hostile newspapers are more to be feared than 1,000 bayonets.
Ooh, I like that.
Boom.
Scary newspapers.
I think we just leave that people sink in with people that one and see what they... So yeah, but I think that's very very interesting. I'm sure you're going to keep banging these quotes out throughout the rest of the podcast.
I might just sprinkle them throughout stories next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
See if people pick up on them.
Can you just like stand up from your desk every now and then and just bang out a quote?
Like a town crier.
It's not the Dead Poets Society. You're not going to be getting up on the desk.
I want to be inspired, you know.
Richard Butt is Robin Williams, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, editor, my editor.
Yeah. Anyway, right, let's move on to quote famous source raconteur Lloyd Grossman. It's time to deliberate, cogitate, and digest this week's Manx News. Starting off, Sam, with a story that was on the front page of this week's Manx Independent, and it's about a colouring. I wanted to say homework, but it wasn't. But it was colouring at Cronkerberry Primary School, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a piece of paper with the word Shahada on it, which is one of the pillars of Islam. Which across the bottom said, "I bear witness there is no God but Allah," which is the Shahada, which is how you become a Muslim. In essence, it's called a reversion, because you don't convert to Islam. You see, you revert to Islam because they see it as a natural state of people being born as a Muslim, and that's how it works now. And some of the parents got annoyed because it was meant to be for children aged 8, 9, 10, 11, sort of, and it ended up in the classroom of the younger children.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, ended up with the five-year-olds, which upset quite a few parents, and the head teacher had to put out a letter saying it was a mistake and the school was apologising for it.
Well, I read the story on the front page of the paper. It's caused quite a lot of a furore on social media, but I think we should point out that it was... I think it had a draw. Yeah. I remember when we were at school.
It was an accident, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was a scrap paper, really, and the kids used it for wet play colouring. They've gone and discovered it themselves. As you say, it was meant to be for the older age group. Now, there's been, obviously the school have apologised that it's got into the primary school, but they said that it is part of their curriculum for the older children to teach them about various different religions. Now, I don't think anyone's got an argument with that. All religions should,
definitely.
You know, should be... That's part of our reason.
Yeah, just as much as worldviews, really.
You know, that you should, you know, kids should learn about different religions that maybe they're not exposed to in everyday life. There's also been a lot of... So we've come in for a bit of stick, saying we've sensationalised the story. What do you think about that, Sam?
I can see where people are coming from with that, to be honest. I really can. I think that my own personal view on this is that I think that I don't see necessarily anything wrong with it. I think if you look at British history in the past 20 years, Islam has become more and more part of our culture and acceptance of people who are Muslim. Yeah, I don't necessarily see the problem. I think if this was about Christianity, I don't think people would raise an eyelid at all.
And Jess, one of the points that was made that this is one piece of paper, and if it had been taught within the class as it was intended to, it would have been more in context. You know, you would have had other papers about it, and you know, this was just a loose piece of paper.
Yeah,
that's obviously makes it a different point again, doesn't it? Because instead, if you're talking a whole lesson around it rather than just
it's definitely about context, isn't it? So if that was to be taught alongside Christianity, Buddhism, Sikhism, other religions, then well. I think it was an accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, moving on. Let's talk, Jess, your next story is about mental health and the mental health awareness. Now, obviously, you've been out speaking to the public, as always, every week, and this was in this week's Examiner, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it's part of our public opinion piece, which is in the Examiner every single week, and it's a personal favourite of mine. So it follows on from a Tynwald Select Committee's report, which has called for improved support for patients and carers. They've pointed out that improvements need to be made for waiting times and the stigma behind mental health. So they're saying, you know, it needs to be considered just as important as physical health, really.
Yeah.
There's also, they've pointed out problems with transparency between the departments and also training as well. And the health minister, he said that the recommendations were overwhelmingly supported by the department. And there were a couple of corrections which we have reported about. David Cretney, who chairs the report with the committee, he said people shouldn't have to wait nearly a year to be seen by a psychologist. And then later he said people should receive the care they need when and where they need it. So we spoke to the public about this and we asked them, have things improved? Can things be improved further? We kind of just got their viewpoints on that. Some said that they find men in particular and boys, they find it more of a struggle to talk about their feelings and like depression, anxiety. And one of them pointed out that they've kind of seen a study about construction workers, so very male-dominated careers, and they think that those people, they have more problems with mental health issues. So it's kind of just getting people to feel more encouraged to speak about it, but specifically boys, because, I mean, us girls are stereotypically quite emotional and we're able to talk about that, I mean, with our gossip sessions.
So what was the feeling on the street? I noticed a couple of people you spoke to talked about stress at work and employers could take a bit more responsibility with mental health as you know, concerned.
Yeah, definitely. So they were saying that, yes, in general, it's been talked about a lot more and that's amazing. But in terms of work, there's a lot of stress-related issues that need to be addressed. In some working places, it is being talked about. So, for instance, we spoke to a guy who said that the banking industry, which he works in, they are doing a lot more with mental health. Not, I don't think specifically for the staff members, but for their clients. So they said that helping people with PTSD, because it can be quite difficult to do, you know, financial stuff when you're grieving the loss of your relative.
Sam, what do you think about, as a, you know, a modern male, do you think mental health is easier to talk about now, or is it just as hard as it always has been?
I think it's the first time I've been called modern in a long time. And for me, there was two big elements to this. Really. I think it is getting easier for people to talk about it. But I think there's two bigger points about this, about we as a society, really. If you look at the rise of social media in the past 15 years, it pretty much coincides exactly. There's a correlation between the rise in depression in particularly young men up to the age of 50 and suicides and the rise of social media. So if you look in the UK at the minute, that is something they're trying to look at. And I think that my other big thing of it is there was on Question Time this week, the boss of Siemens in the UK said that if you look at a place like Finland and that, they've moved towards a preventative measure, whereas we leave it to the point of saying, right, this person really needs to see a doctor, they need to see a psychiatrist, they've got severe mental health problems. And then we're looking at a system where we know that, I mean, we don't have enough dentists, we don't have enough doctors, we don't have enough nurses. We definitely don't have enough psychologists, psychiatrists. So I just think that this is a wider issue than just saying we need to talk about it. We need whole-scale societal change about this.
So it's more to do with attitudes, isn't it? And I think there have been a lot of attempts lately to change that. For instance, the royal family with their support of, of mental health charities.
Well, a lot of high-profile celebrities.
Yeah, that's right. And then ITV News, they did a big initiative where they had figures and standing on top of their building in London to highlight how many men commit suicide.
Wow.
I think it was 84 statues they had around the top of the building. For 84 men on average a week who kill themselves.
That's a massive number. And they're right, it doesn't get discussed enough.
We're talking about societal change potentially being something that needs to happen. But do you think, you mentioned social media, we're in this society at the moment where we never really switch off. Do you think that people just don't have time to, like this morning you said you've been out for a run and you feel great.
Yeah, I feel amazing.
But do people never, because they've always got their phone, they've always got their iPad, they've always got the tablet or whatever.
Definitely. I'm a big believer of communication, face-to-face communication. I don't think we do that as much as we used to. And social media takes you away from that, and it's really sad to see. I mean, we all think we're being super social on social media, but actually I think it's more healthy to be sat in front of somebody, actually show, yep, I'm giving my time to you, and we can exchange our concerns and we can exchange, these things that are eating away at us.
Was it, Sam, is it about making time for yourself as well as making time for meeting others?
Well, again, if you go back to there's a lot of studies have proven that the more time that particularly young, it is particularly actually young males, again, it is in a prevalence in women again, in women as well, but it seems to be young men this affects in different ways. That the there's a direct correlation between the amount of time spent on video games and social media and with their levels of depression.
Wow.
And they are isolating issues, but what a big thing that social media people don't realise is the power of this thing. It's called FOMO.
Right.
So it's the fear of missing out.
Fear of
missing out. And a lot of that draws on that. So you see things where if you didn't go out to something, then you see it and that builds on things. And if you're not wide on to something and you miss a joke, it's little tiny things like that. And it is being proved that it is making a bigger, bigger difference.
Jess, just one final point I want to make on this. Did you have trouble when you were asking people about this? Were people quite open to talk about it?
So I went there with Dave Neal, who's our photographer, and we were umming and ahhing. In fact, I suggested the idea in Nigel, where we have our meetings, and they said, no, don't bother because you won't get anyone talking. Well, we went down there because we thought, you know, well, it's something that we want to do. And every single person that we came across spoke to us, and we were just amazed. But
does that not show a changing of attitude?
Exactly, that's what we were saying. Mm. Yeah, definitely. And it was all age groups that were talking to us, you know. It wasn't just the young kids.
So there's loads more of that in this week's Examen Over's Nurse Jess. All your people that you kindly stopped and spoke to you, and their pictures are in this week's
definitely.
Paper.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, now, slightly change of pace. We're talking of next year is actually a new year, isn't it? Some people are like, Andy, it's been a new year for flipping 4 weeks now. What are you talking about, fella?
Next year is new year.
Next week is new year, sorry. See, this is I'm getting, this is how excited I am about this news.
That's breaking news, that next year is new year.
That's going to be tonight, the pull-out quote from this week's podcast. Next week is actually a new year.
It is. So it is February the 5th, which is Tuesday.
It is.
It's happy Chinese New Year to everybody. Yes. For Tuesday.
So we've run a couple of stories about it in the last couple of weeks. Post office are bringing out some new stamps.
Yeah, they're bringing out stamps to mark the Year of the Pig.
The Year of the Pig.
And the Year of the Pig the characteristics of the animal. Mm. I got this from the internet. They said, pigs have a beautiful personality and are blessed with good fortune in life. Oh. So sounds like
I suppose they have quite a happy lot till they're put to slaughter, aren't they? Yes. You know, they aren't they? Good, because they get to move around in their own... and they're always fed and stuff like that.
It's a morbid angle, but
you have a happy 5 or 6 years, or however long the pig lives.
I suppose so, if they're like let loose.
I do like pigs, they are quite...
They are quite... Yeah, we used to have pigs when we were on a farm in New Zealand. And they were so sweet.
Eat anything as well, weren't they? There was always that famous... Was it Snatch, the film where they used to eat bodies? They used to put dead bodies in it and eat them.
Oh, that's
disgusting.
And
Hannibal Lecter did that as well.
Did they? Yeah, the boar. They have the boar, see? So.
Wow. Nice. But I did some investigations to find out basically what people's animals were according to their year of birth.
Okay.
So, Andy, you were born in 1984. I hope you don't mind me showing how
fine.
Old you are there.
Yeah, I know. I look older.
So you were born in the year of the rat.
Long tail.
I'm going to keep with rat.
You have to like knock on a table, spin around.
Yeah, you guys have to like smash your head on a wooden table, sort of, don't you?
You pretty much do now.
It's
just lost half our audience.
Yeah.
So stereotypical. Like.
Do you say hello to the fairies in the morning?
I don't want to answer that question. moving on. So that means, according to your personality, is you're quick-witted, resourceful, and lovely.
Oh,
Andy, you're lovely.
Yes.
But you do have a lack of courage, and this means that you're not capable as leaders.
Oh, that's a fair point, yeah.
So just to add that little down there.
I think my wife would agree with most of them. So
Katie, I thought we'd do one for you. She was born in 1988, and she has the coolest year. She was born in the year of the dragon.
Wow.
I know, pretty cool. And so that means she is enthusiastic and confident, but she is sometimes regarded as aggressive. And I don't see that as Katie.
Sam's nodding.
Okay. Is there like a side to her that I don't know?
Yeah, possibly. Right, so move on.
Well, I suppose actually I did hear about the quiz. We had an Isle of Man newspapers quiz.
I do remember this.
You guys were there, right?
Yeah. I've tried to
what
work
happened?
It out. Well, I'd had a few beers by that point, so I can't really remember which she got very vocal about when there was a question of one of her marks being taken off, wasn't there?
There was an incident regarding counting of marking. And Katie hadn't won, and after she'd finished.
She had one.
The team had one.
Yeah.
She fought for justice.
I mean, she was right, but...
Wow, okay.
She was actually quite aggressive.
So maybe that's quite accurate.
Okay.
So, for our producer, Emma, she was born in 1991, mm-hmm. and that is the year of the goat.
Oh.
Yeah, and that
greatest
means...
of all time.
And that means she's gentle and brimming with a strong sense of kind-heartedness and justice.
So you couldn't read that without laughing.
I really couldn't. I'm not saying that that's not Emma, but just the way it's been worded is amazing. But she is also apparently quiet and reserved.
Well, she's always quiet on the podcast.
She is, but yeah. If you knew her outside of these walls,
yeah, I think that's a stretch, to be honest.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm not sure that's so accurate.
No.
So we're going to move on to Sam and myself.
Okay.
Little chums, born in 1994.
94? I've got underpants older than that.
Right. Did so not what? Need to know that.
At least I haven't shown you them now. Right, 94, what happened? Right, what were you?
So we're the dog. The year of the dog. I like that. I think the dogs are lovely. So that means we've got a strong sense of loyalty. And dogs, they just need a quiet life and a good family. Therefore, forget the ugliness in the world. That is according to Google. But the negative is they tend to leave others with the impression that they have a stubborn personality. Would you say that about us?
She's
nodding.
Yeah. Anyway, Jess, if that wasn't... exciting enough. You've got even more excitement for us now.
So
because,
much excitement.
Oh, if you drop your notes now. There you go. Right, so it's about the next big thing, which is a talent competition, which is coming to the Isle of Man very shortly, isn't it?
It is. It's coming up this weekend, I believe. It's on February the 9th. So there'll be 13 acts battling it out. Mm. And so these are adolescents who are going to be showcasing their talents.
Whoa, right. What's an adolescent?
I suppose it's like a teenager.
Is it? Well, when you say teenager...
A young adult.
What do you think an adolescent is, Sam? I only ever see them on crime, court reports. So. Yeah. Or is that an adolescent, a juvenile? Is that the same thing? Or?
I would have said an adolescent sort of drops a bit further down into sort of like the sort of maybe 8, 9 onwards.
Really? Yeah. I'd say young adults. I'd say like 13 to...
It's
19.
It's a good job we're on the business
20,
of writing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Juveniles, I think, are younger because it's 16 and younger, I'd say.
Okay. So in this talent competition is aimed at that demographic, is it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I can't wait till Richard hears this. Richard's going to be there like handing dictionaries out going, you will learn these bits.
Yeah.
So they're going to showcase their talents in like dancing, singing, magic and like rock bands. It's organised by Junior Achievement Isle of Man, and last year's winners were Giles Beaumont. He was a magician.
Right.
And then we had solo singers May Chellis and Amy Gravestock, who also did a bit of acting. And we also had violinist Tabitha Templar. So
Tabitha Templar.
I'd like
lovely
that.
Name, right?
Yeah, good alliteration.
Now, this has got you thinking, hasn't it? You've been around the office this week trying to press... Harass people. I was going to say, yeah, that is the only word for it. trying to get them to do their hidden talents.
Okay. Yes.
And have you had any success?
I have.
Go
We have the wonderful Danielle McGovern.
Right.
And so this is her little talent.
So Danielle works for telesales, isn't she?
Yeah.
So she's on the phone quite a lot, but I've never heard her do this before.
No, it struck me. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so we're going to have a listen to that now. That was quite scary.
I know. You wouldn't have expected that to come out.
It sounded a little bit like... So do you want to tell people what it was first?
So it was a dolphin.
Yeah. I saw it sounded like... probably about 94 when it first came out, the original Jurassic Park and the
yes.
one of the raptors, you know, when they were the ones.
Oh, the frilly ones!
Yeah,
one that scares me. That
she
that
sounded
bit
a little
film.
Bit like that, so you know, I don't know there's much work in doing raptor impersonations. Sorry, dolphin impersonations.
maybe she can fill in for the next Jurassic World.
Well, you know, now we've got it on audio, I'm sure we could put a show reel together for it. So Danielle isn't the only one that can. As a talented voice, as it were, Jess, is she in the office?
No, she surely isn't.
So, go on then.
I have
stop
a few
lighting
up
your
my
light
sleeve.
Under a bushel. What's your talent?
So, I can do a few animal noises
okay.
myself.
Why don't you do them and then see if me and Sam can guess what they are?
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Okay, first one.
Right, I would say a ferret stranded down someone's trousers.
Thank you. I'll do it again if you want.
Go on.
Two ferrets down someone's
trousers. And a bird of some kind.
A pigeon.
Yes, oh! That's it. It's a pigeon.
Have you ever seen a baby pigeon?
No, but...
Exactly.
My other one...
Mine's blown up.
I know. My other one is this.
Frog.
For a minute there, I thought there was going to be some projectile vomiting.
Yeah. No, I can do that one, actually.
See?
So what sorry, what?
Is okay, it, so is some, it, people, is it a frog? Some people or think a it's toad. A frog.
What's the difference between a toad and a frog?
I don't know.
Spelling.
Well, frog is...
Spelling.
Frog has webbed feet. I don't know. There is a difference. A toad is bigger and more bulky.
We've quite literally opened a can of worms here. I should stop.
Can you do that?
It comes into my head,
my last one. I'll see if I can do it. My throat is a bit sore.
Okay. Ooh. Right. Now, when we bought this microphone, they said you could pick up bat noises in nearby fields. So, is that what that is?
I'd say that's a seagull.
Really? No. Seagulls are more, for want of a better word, arsey than that.
That's not too bad, actually.
But that's a baby seagull. That no, they're more.
Go on.
Well, I can't really. They're sort of like. If you imagine Eddie Murphy laughing, you know that's what a seagull sounds like.
That's so true.
Yeah,
that is the manxest seagull ever.
Well, that's the only seagulls I'm exposed to. I'm not really getting them coming over from Scotland or anything, do they? But I would say a seagull sounds more like Eddie Murphy laughing.
Okay, would you say it's a baby seagull then?
Yeah, potentially. Or maybe.
Or like some sort of seabird.
Give it. Yeah, give just one more one to that one. Yeah, it's quite piercing. Yeah.
It is. I mean, yeah. I also tried to get one of our colleagues, Amanda, who is a mum of three. Mm. I know for a fact she can do the worm. And she does it beautifully.
Yeah.
But she hurt herself last time, and so she won't do it for us.
I was going to say to you, though, Jess, how was that going to come over on audio?
Oh, no, I was going to do it audio. I was going to put it on our Insta. You know, try and...
All about the gram.
Yeah, exactly. Try and get people over, you know.
Sam, you got any hidden talents? Or not so hidden talents?
Sam's super talented. God.
No, I'm not, actually. No.
A little birdie told me you did impersonations. Were they telling me fibs, or was this an actual...
You can do the Scottish accent, I know that.
Or 4 pints before it becomes an actual talent?
No.
You. What about your Trump? You do Trump every now and then.
You've got all bashful,
Sam. I have done, I've done what's wrong with me. Like...
Just say, build a wall in Trump's kind of accent.
He's not...
I'm sorry to everybody, especially producer Emma, if I happen to edit this. Build a wall. It's going to be a beautiful wall. A fantastic wall. The best American wall. That's all I'm doing. That was terrible.
That's very good.
I'm going to
That was up there with my Jules Holland impersonation from a few weeks ago. Which,
can you give us a little reenactment?
I think that should only be brought out for New Year's Eve and the Jules Holland.
The special.
For the podcast.
The special.
The pod and Annie, when I'm sure we'll do one at the time. Right, moving on, Sam. We're talking of Americans. You've spoken to a very interesting chap this week. He now lives on the Isle of Man. He's been here for... 20-odd years now?
About 30 years.
30 years. James Douglas. There's a great feature I read in the Examiner this week about this guy, James. He's had an amazing life, really. Who used to work for Ronald Reagan, former president of the USA.
I was just trying to think, I could do a Ronald Reagan impression, but no, I can't. he's a fantastic guy, Mr. Douglas. He was born up in Scotland. Lived through the war and then went off to America in 1946. And while he was out there, he started working as an architect for a company. And then he worked in organising mortgages and loans for people, and he got into being he was a Republican in California. He was supporting Reagan when he ran for governor of California, and then again when he ran for president. And when he became president, he was invited to join his task force.
He was, and he got some... the best bit, I thought, was for genuine... Ronnie Reagan swag, he got a signed American flag for his troubles, didn't he?
Yeah.
Among other things, I'm just saying.
When he was towards the end of Reagan's time in office, he organised for a flag to be flown above the White House for Mr. Douglas, which was dedicated to him, presented to him, along with a signed picture of Big Ronnie.
Mm. Big Ronnie.
And yeah, it's one of his little... One of his prized possessions, said it was the proudest day of his life, which, when you think about it, for a Scotsman who went to America, then come here, he's travelled about quite a lot, he's yep. led an extraordinary life, and then, of course, on the island, he's made an impact as well.
Yep.
He runs Manx Aid
mm-hmm.
with his wife, Wendy.
So just tell us a bit about that charity. It's basically, it helps local people for various things, wasn't it? I think I read an example given in the article was they'd given someone a new wheelchair, hadn't they?
Yeah, he was telling me about what they... So he says that the problem he has with some charities is where you say, oh, I've given money to charity and it goes into a big pot and you never work out where it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what Manx Aid do is they take in the money and they'll say, so you donated us, let's say, 5,000. We spent 4,500 buying this lady here a new motorised wheelchair so she can get out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, they do things like that and they move it about, and it's accountable charity. Accountable charity.
Right.
Which is easy to say. And yeah, so they've done... He's made an impact everywhere he's been, really. He's really extraordinary.
So if you want to read more about that, that was in this week's Examiner. There's a lovely picture of him as well in Laxey with his nice tie and flat cap on, man after my own heart. With flat
oh,
cap.
Perfectly dressed man.
Yeah, so yeah, that was in this week's Examiner. Moving on, sports story of the week. Anyone who picked up an Independence Day will notice it was a bit of an athletic special on the back page. Jess, we saw the Ironman Sports Awards taking place in April, and they've announced their special guest. Did you see who it was?
I did. Greg Rutherford.
Yes. Long jumper.
Yes. Olympic. He's an Olympian, isn't he?
Yeah, he won gold in 2012. And remember Super Saturday? Mm.
So that's pretty big for the Ironman, isn't it?
Yeah, no, 2012. It's not that long ago, was it? But yeah, so when Mo Farah and who else won gold? There were six golds that day.
Jessica Ennis.
Yes, and Greg Rutherford was part of that Super Six, as it were, with six gold medals. He also won the World Championships in 2015. He's a Commonwealth champion. He's won bronze at the Olympics as well. You know, the guy is, in long jump, he's up there. He's a bit like, you know, the Messi of the long jump world, in my opinion. But yeah, he's coming over to speak at the Ironman Sports Awards in April. Yeah. Which is at the Villa Marina. I think there's still tickets available if you want to come and watch that.
Is it something that you'd go to?
We'll be there in a professional capacity. I'll be tweeting, I'll be gramming, I'll be social mediaing my little heart out that night. Don't worry. And obviously Dave Neal, our photographer, will be there, so there'll be loads of pictures of the award winners.
Oh, he takes a good pick, that guy.
But just coincidentally, on Sunday was the annual Jude Sports Hall event, which is an indoor sports competition for kids at the NSC. And Mike Wade was there, another one of our lovely photographers,
mm-hmm.
who had taken a boatload of pictures from that day of the kids having a tremendous amount of fun. So the back page of this week's Indie features one of them and Greg Rutherford, one of the little lads doing their long jump. So I said, could be a Greg Rutherford of the future, couldn't it?
Yeah, there you go.
So have a look at the Indie for some more pictures from Jude Sports Hall and more on the Greg Rutherford story. And of course, if you go on to irontoday.co.im/buyaphoto, there's all the pictures from Sunday's Jude Sports Hall event. Right, Sam, this week in history, we delve back, get in the DeLorean, and then we set it to 1955, February the 4th, Friday. And then we go to the Ironman Weekly Times once again, don't we?
We do, and it was big news.
Big news. This is big news. A big news and a big picture.
It was.
And who is the picture of, Jess?
Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Elizabeth II. There she is. In a resplendent black and whiteness.
She is looking lush, isn't she?
So what was happening, Sam? Why was she on the front of the paper that week?
Because it had been announced that Her Majesty was to make a visit to the island on August the 9th of that year with the Duke of Edinburgh.
Who's also a second picture of him with a lovely trilby on at the bottom of the page.
Aww, I love his hat.
Yeah, no, you're looking almost like
looking the part.
A spy. But there you go. so there was also, they were coming to the Isle of Man after a trip to Wales, weren't they?
Yeah, it was part of her tour of the Empire sort of thing when she took over, and she was coming to the Isle of Man. And of course, he'd actually been here before. He'd come for the TT in 1949.
Right, of course.
Which, you know, we have a history of that because you interviewed Prince William.
Yes, I did. Yeah. That was amazing.
When he was over last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, so that was for the TT. And he waved the flag for the electric bike race. The Zero. That's it.
But we were just talking off there about the style of this front page, because it's just like one story after each other, but in like really small columns, isn't it? So we'll talk about the advert, which is an absolute corker, a bit later on. Before
sorry,
you've just spotted it, haven't you? There was more stories other than the Queen coming that week, being announced that week, wasn't there, Sam?
Well, I've just noticed actually when you look down, it goes down at the Queen to the bottom of the page, and then over in the right in the bottom corner, there's a comment from former MHK GP Quine, who said that Timbald should have been consulted prior to the Queen's announcement.
Don't want her over here.
Sal Greeks.
So yeah, what else you got? You got the Speaker at the Times and Hospital.
Yeah.
You had a steam packet dividend of 7% for ordinary shareholders.
Oncom Park were looking for a liquor licence.
Yeah, that's...
Could have been carnage on the boats, couldn't it?
Oh, they're motorboats.
There was flu epidemic running rampage through the schools.
Yeah, and following up from a previous discussion we've had about prices, it was meat will cost you more.
Oh.
Which was a decision by the government.
So that's following on from the
eggs.
To
raise the amount of price of meat in the island.
And we'll have more about meat in next week's podcast, won't we? Because that's the subject of your out and about public opinion piece this week, isn't it?
It was, yeah. It was basically asking people what they think about the discussions to get Manx meat on Tesco shelves.
So we can listen to more about that in the podcast and read, of course, about it first in the Examiner next week.
Yes, that's right.
Before we move on, I just want to point out my advert of the week on the front page of 1955. I'd have to say it was quite racy for the Times.
Oh, yes.
It's about lingerie. And RC Kane Limited has the latest loveliness of lingerie.
Oh, no.
It's quite a long dress, isn't it, Jess?
Yeah, I mean, it's... times have changed.
Yeah, it wouldn't be classed as lingerie now, would it? Although it does...
I think some girls would probably wear that on a night out these days. Yeah.
And a lot less.
Yeah.
It says they've got set slips, panties, camisoles, knickers, nightdresses, pyjamas, dressing gowns and bed jackets. Oh, I love a bed jacket. They're the padded ones, aren't they? That go all the way down to your ankles.
Oh, okay.
Producer Emma's like, Lord, and she wants one of them. If you're listening,
like super cold.
If you're listening to it, maybe for Valentine's Day, get her a nice bed jacket.
So you notice the phone number?
You know, hang on. Oh, three numbers.
RCK in Duke Street. Just ring 268.
For all your lingerie needs. Right, Manx Word of the Week time. Last week was Ben... This week, so I'm reading my script wrong. Last week's was...
Perchin.
Perchin.
Sam, come on. You have to be involved in the process.
Perchin.
Perchin, lovely. Right. And apparently, Jess, it means...
It means children.
Children. There you go. The Robert Miles classic. Look it up, kids. It was good.
I have no idea what that is about.
Google Robert Miles children and it will blow your socks
off.
Oh,
yes. That's a song, isn't it? Sorry, yes. I just clicked there.
Yeah. So this week's word, the guys at Culture Vannon have kindly given us another audio version.
How nice of them.
After we butchered it.
Yeah.
So it's Ben Rhine I'm going for.
Ben Reen?
You asked that as a question rather than...
It's because I'm really unsure about how I'm pronouncing it.
Right, so you've gone for Ben Rhine, you've gone for Ben Rhine. I'm going to go for Ben... Ben Rhine, I think that's Ben Rhine.
Right, so let's listen to how it should be said now.
Ben Rhine.
I don't think any of us were close to that.
I don't think so.
I think we should just extend our apologies to the Manx people.
We're trying our best to promote Manx culture and seemingly like cutting it down with the other hand as well, aren't we? Thanks again to the guys at Culture Vannon for sending us that clip. Right, before we go, just a reminder, if you want to get in touch throughout the week, you thought, oh, this podcast is horrendous, and you want to send us your comments, please do. That's IOM News Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Of course, you can write to us if you fancy it. If you've been that enraged that you want to put your feelings down on paper.
Pen to paper.
It's you can write to us, IOM Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas, IM15ED. And if you so wish, you can ring us. Even if you not just about the podcast, if you've got a story or
want to talk
to Sam about what's hip and happening in the world of charity shops this week, give him give us all a ring on 01624 695 695. Right, that's it for this week, I think, chaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until next week.
Bye for now.